بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والى وبعد. We continue, Ikhwan, with our study of the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had been and have been discussing some of the asalib and some of the methods of Quraysh and the kuffar of Quraysh in attempting to turn the people away, or to turn the people away from the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said that from those asalib, there were those asalib or those methods that were used that were employed either to turn some of the believers away from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them to attempt to turn those who were protecting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away from doing so, Abu Talib and others from among his Ashira and from his family members, Abu Talib at the head of them, his uncle. And then they moved on to the asalib of, or the usloob of ta'dib, which is to punish the believers and to persecute them. And the punishment and persecution, it continued even till the period of the hijrah. And so the affair of them being tortured, the affair of them being punished, it continued up to the period of the hijrah. And even after the hijrah and after the migration, there were some believers who were still in Medina being punished, in Mecca, being punished and being persecuted. And so the asalib and the methods that were employed, the other methods that were employed, were used alongside the affair of persecution and alongside the affair of them torturing the believers, Ridwan Allah alayhim. From the methods and from the affairs then is that they would oppose that which was revealed from the Quran by referring to it as asatir al-awaleen or with stories of old, yani tales of old. In that regard we have the affair of An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith. An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith, he was among the notables of Quraysh and from the leaders of Quraysh, and he was considered from the main shayateen, from the main devils of Quraysh, and from those who truly harmed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from those, Ikhwan, who were major promoters of the Prophet ﷺ being one who is learned in magic, being a kahin, being a devil, or being a soothsayer, and from those who claimed that indeed there is nothing special about that which the Prophet ﷺ, nothing special about what he brings. For Al-Imam ibn Hisham, rahimahullah ta'ala, he discusses one of the instances with him, and the fact that they were ongoing instances alongside this individual, An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith. He mentions, وَهُوَ الَّذِي قَالَ فِي مَا بَلَغَنَا سَأُنزِلَ مِثْلَ مَا أَنزَرَ اللَّهِ. He was the one who said, as occurs in places in the Qur'an, that there shall be revealed upon me the likes of that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed, that is, I shall receive something similar. Yani this that he recites, it is nothing. And I, in actuality, will receive something similar. And I can bring to you something similar. Because he was eloquent and was able compose poetry and what have you. Similarly, we have an authentic narration from narrated by Ibn Ishaq, with his chain of narration. Going back to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said, نَزَلَ فِي النَّظْرِ بْنِ الْحَارِثِ ثَمَانُ آيَاتٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. That there were a number of verses, there were some 8 verses that were revealed concerning An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that there were 8 verses in the Quran, all of them revealed concerning An-Nadhr ibn al-Harith. And he mentions that these ayat, or these verses, that the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَصَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. when our verses are recited upon them, they say, tales of old. Tales of old. And that was an attribution to this individual, Al-Nadhar ibn al-Harith. Similarly, from the verses that were revealed concerning him, the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. Woe to every أَفَاك, أَثِيمٍ, every sinful liar. يَسْمَعُ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ تُطْلَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يُسِرُّ مُسْتَكْبِرًا كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعَهَا فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That he hears the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal being recited upon him, and then he turns away as يعني, filled with arrogance and pride, as though he has not heard them. And so give him the glad tidings of a severe punishment. Give him the glad tidings of a severe punishment. And so he, as we mentioned, was from among those who used to approach the pagans of Quraysh, and he would say that I, wallahi, ya ma'ashar Quraysh, ahsanu hadithan minhu. And he used to say, I am by Allah better in speech than him. And there is nothing special about what he says. I'm better in speaking, and I have better speech than him. وَمَا حَدِيثُهُ إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. And what he says is nothing but أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. What he says is nothing but, this just tales of old. Yani we've heard this type of speech before. But he used to say, وَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَقُولُ هُوَ إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اِكْتَتَمَهَا. And what he says is nothing but tales of old that he has hidden. And in that, he had this with him before. He hid it with him. And now he chooses to reveal it. Now he chooses to make it apparent. But there's nothing but tales of old that he was taught. And he now makes it apparent. And so he would say, هَلُمَّ إِلَيَّ فَأَنَا أُحَدِّثُكُمْ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ حَدِيثِهِ. So come to me and I'll narrate to you in a manner that is far better than that which you hear from him. And so he, from the statements and from the affairs that have been attributed to him, is all of those verses that were in Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, when our ayat and when our verses are recited upon them, they say tales of old. They say tales of old. Now, similarly, ikhwan, from the asalib, as we mentioned, is that of As-Sukhriya and that of them claiming that the Prophet is a kadhab, or the Prophet is a sahir, and many of those verses similarly are relative to that. Indeed, the verses were in Allah Azza wa Jal, and from them the ayat in Surah Al-Hijr, same as Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ نُزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. That they say, oh, you who the Quran or this dhikr is recited upon, indeed you are majnoon. Or like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَجِبُ أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. That they indeed are amazed that a mundir, or that a warning should be revealed upon them, as it is in Surah Sa'd, that a warning should be revealed upon them. And so the kafirun, they say, he's nothing but a magician and a kazzab. He's nothing but a magician and a kazzab. Accusations, ikhwan, that continue, as we see throughout the Quran, even in the Madani period, these statements and these accusations were still being levied against the Messenger of Allah, that he's a kazzab, that he's a liar, he's a magician, and what have you. Similarly, ikhwan, from the asalib and from the methods that they used to employ and that they used to use, is that they used to attempt to claim or attempt to come to some form of agreement with the believers. That is, we come to a some resolve between us. Yani, you leave some of what you are upon and we leave some of what we're upon, and we come to a middle ground somewhere. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in that regard, and in regards to this usloob, he revealed the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as a in Surah Al-Qalam, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ, that they wish that you would become gentle, or you would leave alone and abandon some of what you are calling to, so that they will become gentle, or they will become, or they will abandon something of what they are upon. And so this affair of trying to come to a common ground, you leave some of yours, we leave some of ours, we come to some understanding, was another one of the techniques that they attempted, or they used, or tried to employ, in order to turn the believers and the Messenger of Allah away from calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his tafsir, وَدَّهَ أُولَٰئِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ يَا مُحَمَّدِ لَوْ تَلِينَ لَهُمْ أو تلين لهم في دينك بإجابتك إياهم في الركون إلى آلهتهم فيلينون لك في عبادتك إلهك. He said that the ayah, it means that they wish, that is these mushrikun, they wish, ya Muhammad, that you will become soft in regards to your deen. Yani that is, you will become lax in relation to your deen, and respond to them by turning towards their idols. And thus they become soft and they become lax in relation to you, your worship of your ilah and your deity. كما قال عز وجل قال جل ثناؤه ولولا أن ثبتناك لقد كدت تركن إليهم شيئا قليلا إذا لأذقناك ضعف الحياة وضعف الممات وإنما هو مأخوذ من الدهن شبه التليين في القول بالتليين الدهن. That is, he mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal, just as Allah Azza wa Jal has said, if it were not for the fact that we made you firm, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ, يعني if it were not for the fact that we established you, لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, then indeed you would certainly have leaned towards them somewhat. If it were not for the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal made you firm, you would have inclined towards them somewhat. And then we would have made you taste the ضعف الحياة وضعف الممات. Yani you would taste twice punishment of life and of death. And this term, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ, الدُّهن is in actuality oil, a reference to oil. And it is a reference here to you becoming يعني, like potty in their hands, and they would apparently do the same with you. Ibn Ishaq mentions then, اعترض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يطوف بالكعبة فيما بلغني الأسود ابن مطلب ابن أسد ابن عبد العزة والوليد بن المغيرة وأمي بن خلف والعاص بن وائل السهمي وكانوا ذوي أسنان في قومهم قالوا يا محمد هلما فلنعبد ما تعبد وتعبد ما نعبد ونشترك نحن وأنت في الأمر. There is a narration that a number of the mushrikun, the heads of Quraysh, Al-Aswad, Ibn al-Muttalib, Ibn Asad, Ibn Abdul Uzza, Walid Ibn al-Mughira, Umayyah Ibn Khalaf, Al-As Ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi, that they, and they are from the leaders of Quraysh, that they came and approached the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they said, Ya Muhammad, come, na'bud ma ta'bud, we will worship what you worship, and ta'bud ma na'bud, and you worship what we worship. فَنَشْتَرِكُ نَحْنُ وَأَنْتَ فِي الْأَمَرِ, and so we'll come together, we'll be partners in this affair. You worship some of ours, we worship some of yours, and alhamdulillah, we're partners. And so, as it relates to that, he mentions, فَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي تَعْبُدْ خَيْرًا, then they continued, إِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي تَعْبُدْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا نَعْبُدْ كُنَّا قَدْ أَخَذْنَا بِحَظِّنَا مِنْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَا نَعْبُدْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا تَعْبُدْ كنت قد أخذت بحظك منه. And so, if we do so, yani if we come together, you worship our deities for a period, we worship yours, then if your deity is better than ours, let's say for example yours is the true God really, then we would have a portion of worshiping the true God. And if ours is better than yours, then you would have had a portion of worshiping the true, and a win-win. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, Surah Al-Kafirun. لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. Statement of Allah عز وجل, say, O ye who believe, I do not worship that which you worship, and you will not worship that which I worship, and I will not worship what you worship. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. Neither will you worship that which I worship, for you is your religion, and to us is ours. And that is, ikhwan, as it relates, and what is clear from that, is that as it relates to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out in worship, ikhwan, there is no compromise. There is no compromise in that regard. And we say that with our mouths full, that there is no abandonment of the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal or compromise as it relates to these grassroots fundamentals. Abadan. Since the one who does so, he in actuality abandons deen. That na'am, there are certain elements and there are certain things, ikhwan, that we, of course, because of the nature in which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed the Quran and the manner in which the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been revealed, it is relative to every time and place. And so it is not said that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is archaic, that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is ancient and we need to revamp it, or that we need a new Islam or a new approach to worship or a new approach to Islam, or that the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is one that in our time needs modernizing, as we hear many of the individuals say, particularly in the fight against terrorism in our time. We oftentimes hear that Islam needs modernizing. This is the problem. Actually, it isn't the problem. The problem is you need to understand Islam, true Islam. And that is the mushkila. The problem is your misconception of the true deen. If you understand the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal as it is to be understood, then you will know that Islam, ikhwan, is applicable in every single time and place. And thus on the basis of the nature of the manner in which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah, it is beautifully applicable in every single time and place. But there are certain fundamentals, no, that we will not compromise. And it is impossible for us to compromise in regards to. And from them, this affair of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. Since if we do so, we will no longer be Muslims. There will be no need for us to compromise Muslims and other than Muslims, since the abandonment of these fundamentals necessitates the abandonment of the religion. And so you'll no longer be addressing Muslims about compromise. Yeah, and so these fundamentals, these grassroots fundamentals, we have verses from the Quran that necessitate, when they were revealed, necessitate that the Messenger, when he was offered these types of compromise, didn't accept them. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal, even when he considered inclining towards them and to some of their offers, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and revealed, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. That if it were not for the fact that we made you firm and we established you, you need to lean towards them somewhat. Allah Azza wa Jal made the Prophet ﷺ firm upon those fundamentals and established that as a sunnah for the ummah. And those sunan, ikhwan, and those affairs are not about to be abandoned by any believer. And so, these are from the affairs, ikhwan, when we're discussing our approach to the affair of de-radicalizing individuals, then understand that these things cannot be abandoned. And it is not these things that have made them radical. It is not these things that have made them radical. It is the ghulu and the excessiveness and extremism that the Prophet ﷺ warned against. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ الْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ. As the Messenger ﷺ, he admonished his companions, woe and be aware of ghulu in the religion, of excessiveness in the religion, extremism. Be aware of that. For indeed, those who came before you were destroyed due to excessiveness and extremism in the religion. Well, like the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسَرْ وَلَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبًا. That the religion is ease, and no one overburdens himself concerning the religion except that it overpowers them. And the Messenger ﷺ warned against the appearance of the Khawarij, warned against a group that you were تَحْقِرُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ إِلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ وَصِيَامَكُمْ إِلَى صِيَامِهِمْ, that you will belittle your prayer to theirs. They'll far supersede you in salah and in siyam and in fasting and worship. They'll outdo you. And that is on the basis of their ghulu, and on the basis of their extremism, and on the basis of their excessiveness. And so it is the attitude towards implementing true deen and true religion and excessiveness in that regard that has led to the madness that we have observed over this period and will unfortunately continue to observe. And so it is these details, ikhwan, that we must pay attention to. Naam, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed then when they attempted to propose this compromise, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed that which will establishes that no, as far as objects of worship, as far as our deity, as far as Allah Azza wa Jal, then no, we will not abandon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and worship other than Allah, not for the blinking of an eye. The Muslim is the one, as occurs in the definition that our scholars define Islam, and it is al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyad lahu bit-ta'a. It is to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla in tawheed, and al-inqiyad lahu bit-ta'a, to be compliant in obedience to Him, to submit to Allah. That is the Muslim. And thus the abandonment of submission to Allah necessitates abandonment of deen, abandonment of the religion. And surely that is not what is being proposed to any believer. Rather, what should be understood is that the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, is one that is beautiful and it is upon the balance. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Thus have we made you a balanced ummah, that you may be witnesses over the people. And that fine balanced ummah is one, ikhwan, that is between excessiveness and between negligence. It was narrated by Imam Muslim رحمه ta'ala upon the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who mentioned كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستة نفر فقال المشركون للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اترد هؤلاء لا يجترئون علينا فقال وكنت أنا وابن مسعود ورجل من هذيل وبلال ورجلان لست أسميهما فوقع في نفس النبي وفي نفس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله أن يقع فحدث نفسه فأنزل الله تعالى ولا تترد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. That in a case صحيح مسلم, upon the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he mentioned that we were some six individuals alongside the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the mushrikun, they approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, repel these these individuals who are with you. And we'll listen to you if you get rid of these low lives, the lowly ones. Get rid of them and you speak to us and deal with us directly, us personally. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he mentioned it was me, it was Ibn Mas'ud, it was a man from Hudayl, Bilal, and two other individuals that I don't mention. Some of the narrations mentioned that Suhayb al-Rumi was present and Miqdad was present. They're all individuals who weren't from the notables of Quraysh. Some of them weren't even originally Arab. Suhayb was, though he's referred to as Suhayb al-Rumi, that he was Roman, he was actually Pharisee, he was actually Persian. But he was enslaved by the Romans when he was a young child, and him and his parents, they were enslaved, and thus he grew up among the Romans, but he wasn't actually Roman, he was Persian in origin. And the likes of Bilal and Miqdad, Ibn Mas'ud, and they weren't from the notables of Quraysh or of similar lineage. And so Sa'd, he mentions, فَوَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَقَعَ. And so it occurred to the Messenger of Allah that which Allah willed would occur. فَحَدَّثَ نَفْسَهُ. And so the Prophet ﷺ addressed himself concerning that. Since the Messenger of Allah, his view was that the notables of Quraysh, if they receive the da'wah and if they accept the da'wah, then they are the leaders of Makkah. And ordinarily, anything they do, the people will follow them. And so it occurred to the Messenger of Allah that if I give them, let the believers stand aside for a while, let me give them da'wah because of the greater benefit that is present within that, give them da'wah. And if they come, then that will be great, and that will be something. Yani mumtaz, as far as the da'wah is concerned, and people following the deen of Allah. And so it occurred to the Messenger of Allah something from that. And Allah Azza wa Jal admonished the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to that which occurred to him to do. He didn't actually do it, but it occurred to him that perhaps he should. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, ولا تترد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ما عليك من حسابهم من شيء وما عليهم من حسابك من شيء فتتردهم فتكون من الظالمين. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, and don't repel those who call upon their Lord بالغداة والعشي, in the day and in the evening, يريدون وجهه, seeking his face. You have no portion of their reckoning, and they have no portion of yours, unless you repel them and be from among the oppressors. And so even though it would probably have occurred to any one of us to do the same, if we were leading the head at the call to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then we were approached by Cameron or by Obama, and some of his administration, Cameron and the individuals from the White House, and they said, look, we'll listen to you, but we want a special sitting. We'll listen, but we want a special Congress. We want a special meeting. That it may well occur to us, is an opportunity now to give some da'wah. Here is an opportunity to call the heads of state to Allah Azza wa Jal. If they accept, imagine. So it would probably have occurred to any one of us. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, when it did occur to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that which prevented him from doing so. That is that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, don't repel them. Don't repel those who call upon Allah by day and by night. Yani, these are the believers and are far superior in that they have taken on board iman. Don't repel them for these. These individuals who Allah Azza wa Jal knows would not have accepted. Since from them were those who made those claims, but throughout the whole of the time and throughout the whole of the call of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never accepted the da'wah of Allah Azza wa Jal, never accepted that which Allah Azza wa Jal had sent his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. And so these verses, ikhwan, in them is that which indicates to us clearly that when it comes to the fundamentals, when it comes to the affairs of Tawheed, that these fundamentals, ikhwan, these fundamental elementary affairs, there isn't any compromise in relation to them. There isn't. Similarly, from the affairs, ikhwan, and from the asalib, from the methods that were used and employed by Quraysh, was them seeking mu'jizat. And in actuality, was from the asalib and from the methods that were used by the people and by the rejecters of the Prophet and the Messenger throughout time. That is that they sought mu'jizat, they sought miracles from those who were calling them to Allah Azza wa Jal. And those miracles, of course, they sought them on the basis of the fact that if what you're saying is truthful, if you truly are a messenger of Allah, then show us a sign. And let us see something that will amaze us. Show us something that will amaze us. And that will prove categorically that you are who you say you are. In that regard, we have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, who said, قالت قريش للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ادع لنا ربك أن يجعل لنا صفا ذهبا ونؤمن بك. That he mentioned that indeed the kufar of Quraysh, they said to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, make dua and supplicate to your Lord that he makes Mount Safa gold. Mount Safa, that he makes it gold. And they make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that he makes it gold. If he does so, and if that occurs, then we'll believe in you. Yani, categorically. There is no doubt. And your messenger, if he does so, and he responds to that, we will definitely believe in you. And so, Ibn Abbas continues, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَتَفْعَلُونَ. He said, and will you actually? Will you? And so they said, nah. We will. فَدَعَى. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua. فَأَتَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ. So he made dua and then Jibreel came to him. And he said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَيَقُولُ إِنْ شِئْتَ أَصْبَحَ لَهُمْ صَفَا ذَهَبًا فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ عَذَّبْتُهُمْ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَإِنْ شِئْتَ فَتَحْتَ لَهُمْ بَابَ التَّوْبَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ قَالَ بَلْ بَابَ التَّوْبَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. So Jibreel came and said that verily your Lord Azza wa Jal, he gives you salam. That is addressing the Prophet ﷺ. That your Lord, he gives you salam, and he has said that if you will and if you wish, I will make Mount Safa gold for them. But whosoever disbelieves thereon after from them, then I will punish them with a punishment the like of which I have never punished any nation from the nations of the world. Or if you wish, you may open for them the bab and the door of Tawbah and Rahmah, the door of repentance and mercy. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Bal babu tawbati wa rahmah. He said, then of course, the door of repentance and the door of mercy. And that no doubt, ikhwan, was from the rahmah and the ra'fa of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he could have said, yeah, do it. Do it. They've been rejecting me for this long period now. And they've been making out as though I'm some liar, sahir, kazzab, do it. And whosoever believes, believes. And whosoever disbelieves, disbelieve, and then let them feel it. And that's possibly what some of us would have done. But here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi al-Rahma, the Messenger of Rahma and of Mercy, he said, then no. Open for them the door of Tawbah and the door of Mercy. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. The ayat in Surah Isra, wherein Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed nothing prevents us from sending ayat, from sending signs, except that the earlier generations rejected them. And we sent Thamud the Naqa, we sent Thamud the Shikamu as a sign, فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا, but they oppressed it. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. And we do not send signs except to instill fear within the hearts of human beings. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ. That what the only thing that prevents us from sending signs is that the earlier generations denied them and belied them. That is, the earlier generations, they said the same. فَأَتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Bring us that which you have promised us, if what you're saying is truthful. If what you're saying is truthful, that Allah is going to do such and such, Allah is going to do such and such, bring us what you have promised us. And so when they would make that statement, then that Nabi would supplicate, that Prophet would supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal. When he makes a supplication to Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will send that nation a sign. And that sign, ikhwan, will be the faisal. It will be the determining factor between Allah Azza wa Jal having mercy upon them thereafter, or Allah Azza wa Jal punishing and destroying every last one of them. And that is something, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then travel through the earth and see what happened. Look at what happened to those nations that rejected. And that is that it has, Allah Azza wa Jal did so in the past with previous nations. That they asked for a sign and they claimed that if you show us a sign, then we truly will believe and we won't reject. And so that Prophet, he made dua, he supplicated, and Allah Azza wa Jal sent them a sign. When they rejected that sign, and it oftentimes occurred, then Allah Azza wa Jal, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal was fulfilled upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished numerous nations to the extent, ikhwan, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَادِيثِ. And that we made some of them ahadith. That is, they're just narrations now. Stories now, that are people used to exist, who used to live in such and such region. A people once upon a time existed in this place, and they used to be of this nature, or they were from the offsprings of such and such, or the relatives of such and such. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَادِيثَ. They're just narrations now, stories. And without doubt, if one from those nations that were destroyed by Allah Azza wa Jalla, that were made ahadith, the people of Iram, and Qawm Aad, and Iram, who were discovered, their dwellings were discovered, ikhwan, in 1991. But the Bedouin Arab of that region, they used to discuss, and used to speak of, the people who used to live in this region. And that was the region of the Rub' al-Khali, the desolate quarter, in the middle of Saudi Arabia, where nothing exists and nothing lives. And perhaps, ikhwan, it is the desolate quarter because those were regions that were destroyed by punishments from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so those people and those townships are now covered by nothing but desert. And so in 1991, there was a NASA scientist, who was working in the region and would hear of the stories of a township that existed in that region on the borders of Yemen. And he decided to use some of the technology that he was had access to, the sound wave technology and what have you, to decipher whether or not their stories were true. And so he sent and utilized their equipment, sent sound waves into the earth in the region that it was being said that there was a township once here. And truly, he discovered that it does appear that the area there differs from the area and the land elsewhere. Before he was given permission to excavate, one of the Bedouin Arabs of the region was walking, possibly with his sheep, with his flock, and his stick went through the ground. And so he thought that was ajeeb. He looked at the hole. He started to remove the soil from the region. Slowly but surely, he realized that there was a hole, and it seemed that there was some emptiness beneath the hole that he had just made. So he continued to dig, and he realized that he had uncovered a slope or steps going down into an area. And so the authorities were informed of that, and then the excavation teams were brought in, and they uncovered the township that is established, number one, in the statement of the people of the region, that it was the township of Iram. And Allah Azza wa Jal describes it as Iram Adat al-Imad. Iram, the one that possesses Imad, the one that possesses pillars. And when they uncovered it, they saw that throughout the township and throughout the area, there were pillar-like structures, yani, in certain areas. And so I remember in 1991 that it was announced, Ikhwan, on the news, the BBC announced that the only historical mention of this township is in the Quran. The only historical mention of this township is in the Quran. That was in 91. And so Allah Azza wa Jal then informs us of the fact, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ, and nothing prevents us from sending signs, إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلِينَ, except that the awwalun, that they rejected them. إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ, the first earlier generations, they rejected them. When they rejected them, they were punished. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, having mercy for the kuffar of Quraysh and for the disbelievers at that time, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he refrained from sending the signs that they had sought from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal did give them signs. And from the most tremendous of them, from the greatest of them, is that which is established in the Sahihain, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, انشق القمر على أهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فريقين. He said, and this is in reference, Ikhwan, to an instance, one of the instances when the mushrikun of Quraysh approached the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, show us a sign. You've been preaching to us for this period. Show us a clear sign by way of which we will believe in you. And so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, you wish that I show you a sign? They said, yes. And so the Messenger, he pointed to the moon. And when he pointed to the moon split into two halves. One half went behind a mountain, and one half went on the other side of the mountain. And Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يُعْرِدُ وَيَقُولُ سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and revealed, indeed the hour is drawing close and the moon has split. But when they see a sign, what do they say? يُعْرِدُ, they turn away. وَيَقُولُ سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ, and they said, this is nothing but ongoing magic. Continuous magic. more magic. And so what he recites is magic, and even now he's deceiving our eyes. Even though they ask for a sign, what clearer than the splitting of the moon? And there is no magician that can split the moon. None. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gave them a sign that they couldn't possibly, bring about or fabricate if you were a magician. And so Allah Azza wa Jal there and after revealed the ayat that indeed the hour is drawing close and the moon has split. And if they see a sign, they turn away and they say that this is continual magic. Concerning the affair though, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, إن شق القمر على أهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فريقتين فرقة فوق الجبل وفرقة دونه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اشهدوا. That he said that the moon was split at the time of the messenger, or during the period of the time of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one half went behind a mountain and the other half was in front of the mountain. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, bear witness. And so the signs then, from those signs, the signs that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Messenger ﷺ, yet they still continued, ikhwan, in disbelief. Rather than saying, subhanallah, it is truly a sign. Truly you are the Messenger of Allah. Rather than saying so, nothing could be clearer than the splitting of the moon. Rather than doing so, they said, this indeed is continual magic. And so they continued, ikhwan, to ridicule the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to taunt the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in another hadith in the Sahihain, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Jundub ibn Sufyan, who said, ishtaka Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَمْ يَقُمْ لَيْلَتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثَا فَجَاءَتْ إِمْرَأَةً وَهِيَ أُمْ جَمِيل بِنْتْ حَرْب إِمْرَأَةَ أَبِي لَهَبْ فَقَالَتْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُو أَنْ يَكُونَ شَيْطَانَكَ قَدْ تَرَكَكَ لَمْ أَرَاهُ قَرَبَكَ مُنْذُ لَيْلَتَيْنَ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ. That indeed, as occurs in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah was ill for a period, for a few days, two or three nights. And so a woman came, and she was Jamil, the daughter of Harb Imra'at Abi Lahab, the wife of Abu Lahab. And so she said, oh Muhammad, I hope that your shaitan has now left you, because we haven't seen you for two or three days. And so perhaps your shaytan, he's now left you. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. And Allah Azza wa Jal, when she made that statement, Allah revealed, وَالضُّحَى, by the duha, and by the layl, or by the night, as it covers and envelopes, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Indeed, your Lord has not left you or abandoned you. And so, they made the statement, or they referred to Allah Azza wa Jal as your shaytan. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He revealed the verses, He said, indeed, your Lord has not left you, neither has your Lord abandoned you. And so we had these ongoing affairs, ikhwan, ongoing situations, during and throughout this period. Bearing in mind, when we're still discussing the period from the fourth year, between the fourth and the fifth year after the Ba'tha, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as the messenger and was sent with the revelation. The final narration that we mentioned in this session is the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who mentions concerning the statement of Allah, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Don't make your salah apparent, yani loud. Neither should you hide it. But seek a middle path. But seek a middle path. He mentioned, نَزَلَتْ ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متواري بمكة، فكان إذا صلى بأصحابه رفع صوته بالقرآن، فإذا سمع ذلك المشركون سبوا القرآن ومن أنزله ومن جاء به، فقال الله عز وجل لنبيه: ولا تجهر بصلاتك، ولا تجهر بصلاتك فيسمع المشركون قراءتك ولا تخافت بها عن أصحابك أسمعهم القرآن، ولا تجهر ذلك الجار وابتغي بين ذلك سبيلا. يقول بين الجهر والمخافة. The ayah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions, it was revealed concerning the period in Mecca wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray with his companions and he would raise his voice with the Quran. That is, that he would raise his voice and make his voice loud, yani recite the Quran loud. When he would do so, إذا سمع ذلك المشركون سب القرآن. When the mushrikun would hear that, they would curse the Quran. And they would curse the one who revealed it, and they would curse the one who brought it. Yani they would curse the Quran itself, they would curse Allah, and they would curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so on the basis of that, Allah azza wa jal mentioned, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ. Yani don't make your salah loud in that manner, and thus lead to this cursing of the mushrikun. And look then how Allah Azza wa Jal, and look how the Sharia, it accommodated for their ignorance. Yani their ignorant practices, Allah Azza wa Jal could have left the Messenger of Allah to recite as he was reciting, and that they curse as they were cursing. And that would be a greater hujjah against them, a greater proof against them, and greater reason for them being punished. Look how Allah Azza wa Jal had mercy upon them, even in their ignorance, even in their period of ignorance. Don't make your salah loud and thus lead to them cursing the Quran and increasing the evil upon themselves, and causing Allah Azza wa Jal to be cursed, and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be cursed. Rather, recite in a manner that is between that. Don't hide it. And at the same time, don't recite it loudly and thus cause the Quran and Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Messenger to be cursed. وَبَتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. But seek a path that is between those two. And so what we understand from that, Ikhwan, when we understand the reason for its revelation, what we understand from that is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the believers, they were receiving continual persecution. They were continually spoken ill of. Curse. They would curse Allah Azza wa Jal, curse the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, speak ill of the Quran and curse the Quran. These were affairs that were continually going on throughout this period. And so the picture begins to develop that it was a difficult period for the believers. One of them being abused, one of them being persecuted, punished, tortured. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being approached and abuse hurled against him, that he is called names, that he is called a magician, soothsayer, and other than that from the various names, Ikhwan, and the various forms of evil, that they would argue with him. Even the women from among their wives would approach the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they would curse him and speak ill of him. Where is your shaitan? Has he left you? I hope he's left you. And it was a difficult period for the believers, this initial early period, but there are indeed much lessons that are present within that for us, Ikhwan, and for our communities in terms of how to deal with ignorance, and that one does not deal with and face ignorance ignorantly. We see that the sunnah was that the believers, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the believers, they rose above that ignorance and they dealt with and face that ignorance in the most noble manner. And we'll see further examples, Ikhwan, of the difficulties that they faced and the various types of trials that they faced throughout this period in which is to come bi-idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.